Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage, just build us into that new body that you so, so want us to be. Amen. If you've got a little one and they get a bit fractious, there's a creche just to the right of where I'm standing. If you haven't got a little one and you get a little bit desperate, can you use the loos on this side, not the creche side? That's just the stage directions for this morning. The exits are here, 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 and here. On Thursday lunchtime, we had a meeting with the second set of architects that we're talking to about the redevelopment of our halls. And it was the next stage in where we're going on this, in trying to find the right architects to use for the project. And all the time we're trying to explore how our buildings will change in order to better facilitate and articulate the mission that God has for this town and what God wants to do through us in this place and through our buildings in this place. But you know what's exciting about all of this? And I know that for some of you, you're kind of less excited than others because it seems to have been going on for an awfully long time and, you know, it's all kind of going a bit over. But we're just making sure we get it right this time so it actually happens. What's exciting is that God already knows what he wants the building to look like. He's already got that fixed in his mind, how he wants it to look. He already knows what he wants us to do in it and through it and outside it. And he already knows who he wants to reach through the ministry that will take place in and around it. He also knows who he wants to use to do the reaching. He knows their names. He knows your names. He knows it all. Now think about that for a moment. Maybe he's given you a hint about it. Maybe it's in your heart that you have an idea of what it might be like. You've probably, if that's the case, already told us over the years that we've been looking at this. It may be that it's something that's not started yet or something that needs to grow from what we're doing already. But it may be that it's just burning inside you quietly until you wait for the things to change. Well, he knows. He knows. Maybe it's that every time you hear the buildings being mentioned, you think, actually, this has got nothing to do with me at all. This is completely outside my interest or my involvement in the church or even outside of my desire for what might happen. It may be that you hear the talk of the buildings and you think, actually, there's no point even thinking about this because it's never going to happen, just like it's never happened on the four other occasions when it's never happened. I'll just let the vicar get it out of his system and then we'll just go back to talking about what state our buildings are in and why we've never done anything. He knows that too. He knows it all. He knows the gifts that he's given you, and he knows the gifts he's waiting to give you as he waits for you to ask for them. He knows the ministry that waits for you and waits for this church in the work of the church and the buildings that are going to be built. He knows your name, and he knows your place in what's going to happen. Even if you don't know just yet, he knows. Think about that for a moment. He already knows. This isn't a God who's going to force things upon you or upon us, but a God who never ceases to put things in our hearts and along the way that we walk, all the time desiring us to follow him and to pick up what he lays there, for us to be part of what he's doing, for us to be blessed by what's happening, and for us to be a blessing to those around us. He knows. He knows. This is what Paul says in our reading today. For we are God's masterpiece, We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. I like this translation. This is the New Living Translation. I like it in lots of ways. It just adds a bit of the poetry that exists in the original, which the NIV has taken out a bit. But there's so much truth in this first verse in our reading today. So much blessing and so much encouragement and so much challenge. Firstly, we are God's masterpiece, you and me. We are his masterpiece. Isn't that exactly what you thought as the alarm went off this morning and you dragged yourself into the bathroom and you looked in the mirror and you thought, well, hello, gorgeous. It's nice to see you again this morning, looking so lovely, looking like a masterpiece. That's surely what you thought, I'm sure. It's great to know, isn't it? It's great to know that we can be confident in that, that we are God's masterpiece. I like that translation so much better than the NIV, either of the versions of the NIV. It's just great to know that we are God's masterpiece, you and me. You and me. How often do you feel like God's masterpiece, I wonder? When you lose your rag with the kids, do you feel like God's masterpiece then? When you look at that attractive person sitting across from you on the tube or the bus, and you think just for a moment, do you feel like you're God's masterpiece then? When you wish for the house or car or clothes of a friend who you think has a much better lifestyle than you, is that how we reflect God's masterpiece? When you reach for another drink or place another secret bet, is that God's masterpiece? When you belittle your wife with a well-practiced and well-rehearsed put-down or with a well-placed fist, is that when you are God's masterpiece? When your health is broken and your thoughts or limbs don't function like you know that they should, do you feel like you're God's masterpiece then? When your boss just sends you down and down and down, and work just takes away all your credibility and dignity, do you feel as if you are a masterpiece then? There is something undeniably wrong with us when we look in the mirror, all of us, not least those of us who look in the mirror and think there is nothing wrong. That's the sin that we carry and the sin of others that their damage puts upon us. And it doesn't matter how long we stare into the mirror or look at the camera or whatever it is, if Christ is not part of that picture, if he's not in that image, then it's never going to be as pretty as it could be, as beautiful as it could be. It's never going to be the masterpiece that God designed and meant us to be. You see, Paul goes on and he wants us to understand that we are made in the image of God. We are the very pinnacle of his created brilliance and of his beauty. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, Genesis 1, 27. You and you and you and you. You were made to be glorious just as God is glorious, radiant just as God is radiant, loving just as God is loving, and righteous just as God is righteous. Remember that Moses couldn't look on the face of the Lord because his magnificence was just too brilliant. That's the model you were modeled on. Paul says, that's the masterpiece that remains hidden by your current image. And the truth is, on the whole, we know we are less than Christ's masterpiece. We know that. When we're like all those things that I've mentioned, when we're kidding ourselves on our loveliness, when we're not honest about who we are, That's when we're not God's masterpiece anymore. But Paul, in this one verse here, verse 10, Paul says we need to reach out to God. We need to reach out to him in so many ways, through prayer, through the scriptures, through his Holy Spirit, through those he's given gifts and skills and time and patience and ministries to, that we might change what is ugly into what is good. Paul says it's only Christ who can do this. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, formed us again, made us holy through the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross. In Christ, God has set about our renewal and our healing and our resurrection. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the promise of the greatest significance. Whether this is the first time that you've heard it, or whether you learned it 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, and it feels as familiar and as uneventful a passage as your favorite slippers, know that this is amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. In Jesus Christ, we can be different. We can be free. We can be satisfied. We can be healed. We can have hope again. This is the good news of Jesus Christ and the message of the cross. And it is life transforming. On our recent holiday, we went to Alcatraz. And it was terribly moving. I found it terribly moving to be there in such an iconic place, and to stand in, it was a 1 in 5 chance that I stood in the isolation cell that Al Capone had been imprisoned in. And not just that, but I walked out into the bleak concrete exercise yard, which, if you remember the Clint Eastwood film, formed such a part of that film, as he sat on the steps. There were the steps, and it was bitter. The sun was shining, but the wind was howling round the exercise concrete yard, and it was whipping the currents on the river around the rock, and it was just bitter. You felt the incarceration and you felt the oppression. And at one point, Andrea and I stood on either side of the viewing window, where the very rare opportunity that a visitor could come and see somebody. It was about this big, and it was kind of dark, and we put our hands on either side of the glass. It was a very moving moment. But at the end of the day, we got on the boat and we sailed back to San Francisco. Didn't matter to us how many locks were on the doors. It didn't matter to us how many gates and cages there were. It didn't matter how many cells there were. At the end of the day, we just walked down to the pier, hopped on the boat, and got back to San Francisco. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Paul's message then to the Ephesians and now to us today has to be fresh and full of freedom from all those things that take away our beauty, from all those things that take away our hope. Once we were separated without hope, Paul writes in verse 12 of this passage. But now, in verse 13, we are united with Christ. We are one with him. And in that oneness with Christ comes that oneness with one another. At least it should do. At least it should do. Both sermons today are around this topic. It just so happens around this topic of being a church built together. Paul says here it starts with us being rebuilt. It starts with us recovering our sense of being Christ's masterpiece, of being redeemed, of being freed. We will never as a church be fulfill the potential that God has asked us to fulfill if we don't start with ourselves at being rebuilt in Christ Jesus. I wonder what it is that's on your heart today. If we're brave enough to admit it, if we're brave enough to offer it to God, where we need to be rebuilt, where the masterpiece needs to be touched up, where those layers of grime need to come off and the beauty restored. What do we need to let go of? What do we need to take on? What blessings would we really benefit from? And what burdens do we really need the Lord to release us from? Paul says in verse 20, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." We are still ploughing through all kinds of things with our buildings, but there's nothing to stop us being together that temple for the Lord, more so than we've ever been before as a church. There are ideas flying around, some of which are so crackers, I don't even tell you. Not about the building, but about what we might do. I mean, they're just so crackers, but they're so exciting. They're so exciting. Will we have the courage to do it? I don't know. But a lot of that depends on how we as individuals go back to God and say, "Make me your person. Make me that beautiful thing that you designed me to be. Let me become your masterpiece again, made anew, fearless and ready and able to go forward, seeking more gifts, seeking more of your spirit, stepping out in courage, stepping out together, built together." If we are a new building in Christ, we have to start that new build inside us first. And as we build new in Christ in our hearts, so Paul promises that we will be built new again as a fellowship, as a church, as a family. And as we build, so we will grow as we attract those to the new things that we are doing, the new heart that we have, the new ministries that we offer. Paul says this to the Ephesians, and he says it to us. What is our response to that? What is your response deep in your heart to the Lord's call for you to be changed and for you to take part and grow in his mission, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else? It was very interesting this morning. You'll all have had a little card saying there's a new church opening at King's Church, opening in the Hayes Primary School. Some of you had it through your door. And one of the Beavers came up to me today and he was really rude. Harris, beg your pardon, Harris. Yeah, that's right. And one of the Beavers came up to me and was really worried that people were going to start going to that church instead of ours. A real concerned little face. And I said to him, there aren't enough seats in the churches that we've got already to welcome all the people in Beckenham into the kingdom of God. So let's have a few more churches built. But, you know, we've got empty seats here. Not as many as most churches, got to tell you. But there is still room for more. Paul says to the people, we are being built into this family of the church, into this gathered together temple with Christ as the cornerstone. If we are changed by the Spirit of God, so will others. And they will come to know Jesus through the ministry that we offer. I hope that is your prayer, to be part of that. Because it's where we're going in this church. It's where we're fixing our eyes to bring transformation to this community, along with the other faithful churches and Christians who worship in this place. Be part of that. Allow the Lord to do a work in you that transforms you back into his beautiful masterpiece, so that we might transform others through the ministry and the mission of God that we exercise. Pray for ourselves, we pray for our church, and we pray for our community. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is your heart's desire that we might be made new, that we might be built up, that we might build. Father, we pray that you would give us all the gifts that we need, all the courage that we need, all the prayers that we need, all the faithfulness that we need, that we might fulfill your mission, both for our lives and for this church in this community. Amen.